Hi, thank you for listening in and tuning in again to another episode of South Haven Business Beats. I'm your host, Robbie Yates, and today's distinguished guest, we have David Parker with District 2, running for Senate here in the state of Mississippi, and really looking forward to learning more about you and how you're best going to represent the state. So, sir, thank you so much for your time. Thanks for being on the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me here.
You bet. So, we'll just jump right in the deep end here,
because that's what
we did last time. I'm just curious, like, the most pressing issues that you see in office that you're seeking, that you want to tackle, could be one, could be two, but what's something, the most pressing thing that you want to tackle?
You know, I think we've done a very good job in the last couple of terms on kind of the finance and the budget of the state. We've made some dramatic kind of improvements that are really kind of earth-shattering for Mississippi. We have been able to fund our rainy day fund completely. So we have a little over $700 million in a rainy day fund now for the state of Mississippi. Along with doing that, we've also been able to lower the state income tax. So we're in a process now of phasing the state income tax down to a top rate of 4%, which will put us among the lowest states in the nation in income tax. There are some people who say, well, let's just go ahead and eliminate the whole thing right now to, you know, kind of get rid of it. And my thought is, if we are successful in lowering it to 4%, and we still have the revenue on board that we need to do the things that are important, then my intent is to continue to lower that down. But just like we would do in our family, you know, we would not just immediately, you know, kind of take a dramatic, huge step. We would ease into that step and see if it is possible. So I'd love to see us continue to kind of move income taxes down. The interesting thing, though, that I share is that one of the reasons we've been able to do that is because we've been very fiscally conservative with the finances and the revenue that we have. So the last couple of years, we have not borrowed any money as a state. On average, the state had been borrowing about $250 million a year. That's kind of been the rolling amount. And on average, we had been retiring about $270 million worth of bond indebtedness. So by not having that happen, each time we don't accumulate more debt, we actually have about $30 to $35 million of real dollars that roll back into the state coffers, because we're not then having to spend that on new bond indebtedness. So over a period of 3 years, that's $100 million, you know, of extra revenue that's around that we can do something with.
Wow, that's incredible. Plus, you have that with a rainy day fund that you have accumulated. It's, I mean, it's impressive what you're working on. And I could see how somebody would definitely want to keep the income tax being lower, because that's incredible if you lowered it that much. So kudos to y'all.
Well, and along with doing that, not only have we done that, but we've also been able to give our teachers a much-deserved teacher pay raise. So we were able to raise their, since I've been in office, teacher pay for Mississippi, or for DeSoto County, I think has gone up about $9,000 a year, you know, in the almost 10 years that I've now been in office. And I told people when I first ran, you know, that I was going to put our teachers and our classrooms ahead of the administrative level of education. And I don't mean like our county office here. I mean like the Department of Education, MDE, as a whole. And we've been very successful in doing that. And so in addition to giving the teachers that raise, we also this year, we pumped $100 million into some more classroom and other development, some more infrastructure enhancements that needed to be done around the state to bring our schools up to par, so to speak.
Yeah, man, I respect the heck out of that. So thank y'all for doing that.
Absolutely.
And so you kind of touched on it there a little bit, but like, what do you feel like the senator's primary role is? What's your primary role? What do you feel like you're the most primary role?
So in my service?
Just in your service, yes,
sir. So 4 years ago when Delbert Hoseman was elected as our lieutenant governor, he came to me and he said, his goal was to increase the labor participation rate over the next 4 years. This is prior to COVID. And he set me on a task. He set up a new committee called Economic and Workforce Development. He said, I want to see where the workforce dollars are going and what we can do to improve that. And so I did the largest study on dollars through ELBO. ELBO is our legislative budget office. And it was a task that took them a few months to complete. But we found out that workforce development dollars, we have about $400 million in workforce development dollars that come into the state. And they were going all different places. Some were going to corrections, some were going to education, some were going to the colleges, community colleges. But in looking to see who was running the program, what I found is that we did not have a lead in Mississippi. I found that out by meeting with the lead for Alabama. And I said, well, who's kind of running things in Mississippi? And he said, well, I'm not sure. I said, well, who goes to the meetings? You know, because with anything like economic development, there, there are meetings that the state of Mississippi would attend. And he said, well, a gentleman named Dexter Holloway. I said, I've never heard of Dexter Holloway. So the next day, I had Dexter Holloway come into my my Senate office. And I found out he's not the guy. That's basically what I found out.
Okay.
He was going to the meetings, but he was just, you know, going there. And he wasn't doing a bad job, don't get me wrong. But he just was not that role. And so what we ended up doing is I set up a bill where we established the Office of Workforce Development as a new agency. But we did that with our existing revenue. Mm-hmm. We had all this money coming in, but we didn't really have, you know, a team to look to see what's going on with it. And so we set that up, and we pared down what's called the SWIB board, the State Workforce Investment Board. We took it down from about 50 members to really a working committee of seven. I am the legislative de facto Senate representative for that. And we found out what we needed to do, and we hired a lead. A gentleman named Ryan Miller out of Oxford is now the lead of the Office of Workforce Development. And he has set some things in motion that are just exciting. So he's divided the state up into different ecosystems. Each one of those ecosystems has specific roles that you know, are unique to the geographic location, whether it's the coast or this area. And it's been exciting. And I'll share one other thing. As you've already figured out, I'm long-winded.
That's all
but,
good.
But through that, we're able to set up the career coaching program. And career coaches have been extremely well-received across the state. So what the career coaches are, and we have eight in DeSoto County, by the way. We have one career coach for each of our high schools.
All right.
And they are not a an employee of the Department of Education. They are an employee of the economic development community. So they're accountable to the economic development community and not to to Department of Education. The advantage of that is that they get to go into our communities and find out in DeSoto County what jobs are needed. And so they go out and find out, okay, do we need industrial jobs? Do we need, you know, distribution jobs? What's the need? And then they go back into the classrooms and tell the kids who are in school what opportunities are there beyond just a college degree. And it has just been exciting.
I love that.
And I can share, you know, a little later a specific example out of DeSoto County that I think is just kind of awe-inspiring. But it has just been, it's been great to work on that and to see, even through COVID, and this is not the kind of thing you'll hear about. You know, this is not kind of the headline grabbing, you know, type of thing. But when people ask me, why do I go down as an eye doctor to Jackson and spend time away, even when, you know, my wife's been through a cancer battle. So why do you go down and do that? It's, you know, I will go down there if I feel I can make a difference and if I'm bringing things to the table that are making a difference. And if I'm not, then I will not be down there. You know, and I think there's more work for me to do.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it kind of ties into the next question of what made you decide to, you know, to run and keep going. But, I mean, you just alluded to it. I mean, to make a difference and then, you know, make a stand for others that can't do that. So I respect that a lot.
And, you know, we have, you know, in the legislature, we have a lot of attorneys, you know, and my daughter's an attorney, you know, but there may be sometimes too many attorneys running the legislature, both at the state level and at the federal level. And attorneys are not bad people, you know, but they think about things in an attorney manner. You know, as a business person, you know, I think I think about things a little bit more, you know, just in what my life experience has brought to me. And I think the legislature runs better when you have a good melting pot of people from across the state who bring unique backgrounds. And I'm the only doctor down there, you know, and because most doctors don't step away from their practice to serve. But I've been fortunate that I can do that and hopefully been able to make some difference while I've been there.
Yeah, I agree. And that makes you talk about small business owners and kind of actually rolls, and you're really good about rolling into the next because it's teed up, so you're making it easy.
I haven't seen your questions either. So you show me the questions, I'd be even better at saying it.
Absolutely. So, but what makes you the best person to represent small business owners? You kind of alluded to it, but I mean, what do you feel like you're, you know, that representative for them?
So I, you know, I started in, so I went to South Haven High School, graduated South Haven High School in 1987. I tell people a little trivia. I was the first person to letter in golf in DeSoto County. When I played golf, it wasn't very popular, mm-hmm. you know, but we had our first golf team we established. And so I've been here doing things in the community a long time. So I went to Christian Brothers University, went to Southern College yep. in Memphis. While I was there, I continued to live here. So I've lived here continuously, you know, my whole life.
Yep.
And came back here as soon as I graduated, and I opened Olive Branch Eye Care with one employee back in 1995. Mm. That one employee is still with me, Wanda, and she's the Olive Branch office manager. We nice. Now have, I have two partners, three associates, three resident interns, an associate cataract surgeon, associate retinal surgeon, lid surgeon, and two locations, and just a very large team. So I've done what I think some people consider to be kind of the American dream. I've grown something from nothing
yeah.
into something greater because I've surrounded myself with the right people mm-hmm. who've made that possible. You know, and so I'm proud to have locations here in DeSoto County. I'm going to be here a long time. I think that yeah. business experience there, mm-hmm. you know, of sometimes making the right decision, sometimes making the wrong decision,
yep.
you know, has let me grow. And I try to take that knowledge and that experience into the decision making that I'm making next.
We're taking a second to thank our sponsors. Wisdom Integrators. Are you a business owner and is technology getting in the way of your business? If your computers are slow, your website is horrible, or your business needs more efficiency, then it's time to reach out to Aaron Kozort and Wisdom Integrators. Be sure to share and subscribe for more business resources. Now back to South Haven Business Beat.
So it's you, and I respect the head of that and admire that, because I'm sure a lot of people may look to that or kind of wonder or question, but I mean, to me, that was a home run for what he can do to, you know, other business owners.
Right.
And taking that experience then into the state level, what you can do on a grander scale.
Right.
Because, you, like you said, you took something from nothing and built it up, essentially, and then now here you are helping the state right. race to another level.
And you know, it's interesting, too. I think a good perspective for me as an eye doctor has been during my day of seeing patients. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of people who go through their life and they spend all their life around people who just, you know, look like them and talk like them and, you know, and say things like them, and they yeah. think that's the only perspective out there.
Mm-hmm.
But during my day of seeing people, I see people from, you know, the youngest of age to the oldest of age, mm-hmm. You know, every race, you know, male, female, you know, and during my experience with them, you know, I talk to them. You know, and so that talking with them lets me learn what their life is about.
Yeah.
You know, and so, you know, and I'll mention this example on the career tech that we were talking about before on the career coaches.
Yeah.
So we had a young girl in DeSoto County area who had missed school for about a week and a half. This happened a little around Christmas of this last year. This right when we were starting the career coach program. And she happened to come back on into school on the day where she was scheduled to meet with her career coach. So she met with the career coach, and the career coach asked her why she hadn't been at school.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, well, my mom's had me out looking for a job. Mm-hmm. This young lady was a junior in high mm-hmm. school. And she said, I hadn't found a job, but things are kind of tough on me. It's just my mom and I, we live together.
Yep.
You know, she's not able to work as much right now, and I've got to do something. And so the career coach met with her and realized, okay, this is someone who is about to make a big decision. And so instead of kind of talking her out of a decision, she kind of tried to find an opportunity that could help her. So she got yep. with her on a resume. She got with her on finding some clothes to wear to an interview.
Mm.
She helped her get an interview at a company that is off of 55 here in DeSoto County. And she went to that interview and was hired with a job, you know, making a pretty good wage, I think about $15 an hour,
yeah.
Working from 3 o'clock to 8 o'clock each day.
Okay.
That allowed her to go back to school,
hmm.
still get over to work, help her mother out like yeah. she needed to, and not drop out of school. And hmm. the most important part of that story is that in further kind of research on it, her mother, and when she was a junior in high school, dropped out of school to do the same thing that she was considering doing.
Wow.
And so what we don't realize sometimes is that we have kids out there who, they're not bad kids.
Yeah.
They live by the circumstances that they're aware of.
Mm-hmm.
And so because that's the only circumstance they know, they make a decision that impacts them for a generation to come. So
yeah.
I try to take that kind of example and try to apply it to decisions that I make, because, you know, it's not always about helping 100,000 people at a time. Mm-hmm. It's often about helping one person at a time and doing something that then, just like the Great Commission, can yep. repeat itself over and over again. You know, and you know, and I think my knowledge from meeting from different people and understanding perspectives mm-hmm. gives me that ability to do that.
Yeah, the ripple effect, you're right, is it's almost immeasurable, the right. impact that we'll have. And then going forward, like, what is something like the three issues, could be one, maybe top three issues that you seek to address in the legislative session, you know, for your district? Is there three or maybe it's one?
Yeah. I'll name a couple of things. You know, we'll go back to kind of teachers for a second.
Yep.
You know, in the teaching industry over the last 10 years, I think we have, because teacher pay has been lower, we've almost set up a situation where parents and other people in the community discourage their children in moving into the teaching career. Teaching is one of the most noble things you can do, you mm-hmm. know, and so we need to get back to programs that encourage children and kids at an early age that being a teacher is something to be proud of. It's something that makes a difference for generations to come. Yep. So I'd like to see us do things that recognize the importance of teachers, mm-hmm. you know, recognize the teachers for what they're doing, and also kind of find programs that would allow them to encourage other young people to move into those careers going forward. And I plan to continue to invest more into teachers to allow that to happen.
Yeah.
I see the same thing happening in law enforcement. I've had this detailed kind of conversation with our sheriff-elect, Thomas Tuggle.
Yeah, he's a great man.
I want to see law enforcement and other things in the law enforcement field mm-hmm. become desired professions again. I do believe that the media has created a stigma, you know, mm-hmm. on law enforcement that is incorrect. I think just like with teachers, you know, it's a servant type of nature that we need to go in there. And to get the best people into law enforcement, we also have to start at a young age. You know, so some of the ideas that Sheriff-elect Tuggle has about having the school resource officer follow the child through the school program,
mm-hmm.
I hope to come alongside him and work to make those things happen.
Yeah.
Because if you have that inspirational person at a young age that a child looks at and says, you know, I'd like to be like him.
Yeah.
You know, that could be a great officer, a great a leader in the future.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't have to be 1,000 kids who feel that. If that resource officer makes a connection with just, you know, 5 or 6 people over a few years, that ripple effect, as you mm-hmm. said, can be extreme. You know, so doing that for teachers and doing that in law enforcement, I think is important. You know, and then, you know, of course, as I mentioned earlier, you know, taking the resources that we've been able to do by some changes we've made in the budget of the state
mm-hmm.
and applying that to take tax burdens off, you know, of the people of the state,
sure.
I think is something that we can do. So, you know, the teachers, the officer programs going forward, you know, reducing taxes would be three mm-hmm. that I would be looking at very, very closely over next term if I'm elected.
Yeah. I tell you what, just hearing what all you have done and what you aspire to do, anybody that hears this that doesn't live DeSoto County, I feel like they're going to pack up and move to DeSoto County.
Yeah.
So I respect the heck out of that.
Well, yeah. it's not me. You know,
I know
it's
a lot.
It's, you know, but, you know, we've got a great team in Jackson. I think, you know, Lieutenant Governor Hoseman, mm-hmm. you know, he allows me to come up with ideas and he gets behind me and lets me do things. You know, and that's the greatest mark of a leader is the best leader is someone who realizes that he or she cannot do everything on their own.
Mm-hmm.
They have to find ways to bring everybody in there, and then you get creative ideas that can make a difference, you know, and pay dividends for years to come.
Yeah, I know Senator McLendon was saying the same thing. I like that team mentality aspect of it. So I think y'all are, you know, doing a lot of great things for the state, so... Again, I admire that. So something you talk about, you've worked on before, reelected again, what's something you want to continue to do or maybe improve upon within your district that's already doing well, something that you're a champion of, what's something you want to continue to do?
You know, I think, you know, our community is great because we have amenities and we have things that are important to the people here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, over the last 4 years in particular, I've worked hard to, you know, continue to have a good parks program here. You know, I've stuck my neck out on the line sometimes to see that. But when I look over to the Snowden Grove area compared to what I had as a child, when I played baseball in South Haven, we played over at Cherry Valley in South Haven in some, you know, very, you know, for us at the time, we thought they were very nice fields,
mm-hmm.
you know, but They weren't. You know, they did, okay, compared to what we see now, they aren't, you know. But because we have invested in our parks, because mm-hmm. we have invested in the community aspect, you know, of South Haven, Olive Branch, you know, Horn Lake and Hernando and the other parts of the county, you know, DeSoto County is a desirable place to be. Mm-hmm. You know, it's desirable, to your point earlier, not just people who want to come down here from Memphis.
Sure.
But as a doctor in Olive Branch, I'll tell you, I'm seeing people moving here from all over the place. Mm-hmm. You know, they are not happy with other areas of the country.
Yeah.
And when they come here and they see, you know, the good relationships we have with people, mm-hmm. you know, the good church balance that we have in our community,
yeah,
those are things that make people proud of where they live. Mm-hmm. And they make, you know, cities like Olive Branch and South Haven, you know, some of the most desirable places to live in the state of Mississippi. So,
yeah.
So I plan to do and continue to do, you know, any and everything to push that image of DeSoto County forward,
yep,
and continue to make this an area that's safe and that people are proud to live in.
Absolutely. Well, I'm sure they are. I have no doubt, especially everything that you all are working on. So for District 2, Mr. David Parker, thank you so much for your time.
Absolutely.
I really enjoyed listening to your background, the experience you're bringing to the table, and what you're going to do forward for not only the county, but also the state as well. So commend you for everything you're doing, and I wish you all the best going forward.
Yeah, and I just want to get back and work. You know, I've spent my day working, you know, and I enjoy it because I feel like, you know, for our kids and our grandkids, I'm hopefully making some small difference going forward. So
absolutely,
thanks for having me.
Yeah, I know you are. Thank you, sir.
We would like to thank the following sponsor, Pure Focus Media. Have an event coming up? Let us capture all the moments that will create memories that will last a lifetime with our professional photographer and videographer. Also announcing our new digital selfie photo booth. Book with us today. Thank you for listening to this episode of South Haven Business Beat. This podcast is brought to you by the South Haven Chamber of Commerce. We know relationships create commerce. Thank you for joining us. Like what you see and hear? Please tell others and subscribe.